That means a lot. I mean, I think it's funny, you know, you grow up, I grew up in Toronto, and you're a Leaf fan growing up the whole time and cheering for the Leafs. And then as I sort of turned pro and got into Calgary and on a different team, you sort of hope that the Leafs don't win because you're kind of jealous of your hometown team winning the Cup. So now that I'm able to get back to Toronto and be a part of it, you know, it's a great opportunity for myself, obviously, to be a part of something special. So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
He admits it. That was Mark Giordano. Say that you're kind of jealous of the Leafs. You don't want them to win without you. You know it. You knew it. All the local kids, when they leave, none of them want to see the team win without them. None of them want to see it. It's the Fan Warning Show. J.D. Bunkus, Blake Murphy, and taking a sip of water, almost missing her cue, Ailish Forfar. What's up?
Hi, guys. Happy to be back. Missed you. Yeah. Missed your voices, even though I listened to everything you had to say about me over the last couple weeks.
I bet you did. I bet you had all your simps all out there, like the monkeys in The Wizard of Oz, just like the flying monkeys that are always around, just spying away, listening in, making sure that we only said nice things about you. Of course, that's true. Okay, I asked you this like briefly before you came on, but be honest, tell the truth. I know you're a pro athlete. Like You've had to wake up early, you know, to go to cold rinks your whole life. But for real, what was it like this morning when the alarm went off? Did
it's
you
like
have
first
the
day
morning
of
scaries? Yeah, what were your
it's
scaries
like? First
like?
Day of school, I come back, it's NHL trade deadline, so like, you know, it's going to be an invigorating day. I was excited to be back. I think that it's kind of ingrained in your system. You're just waking up, you know it. Your body knows. I don't think I got much. No, I didn't get off the ritual too much of getting up early. So it's nice to be back.
Blake has basically not taken any days off. Even over Christmas, he was like,
I'm aware.
And now
he's like doing Blue Jays broadcasts.
I know.
Now.
I was just going to say.
Can you add more to your plate, Blake?
I got a news release over the weekend. Blake doesn't, of course, tell us that this isn't the work. I'm like when athletes get traded from, and they go, I heard it from the news media. That's what's happening with Blake's career, where it's like this guy, he gets the Blue Jays pregame show, huge news for spring. And I'm finding out from the work email, like the rest of everybody else, all the other rooms. Yeah,
I didn't even get the work email. What the heck?
Yeah, I got the press release. But
thanks,
it's like,
guys.
But I know when I'm away, I feel like a fraud. Like whenever I come back, even for a couple of days, Blake has no idea what it feels like because he's just working. He's the number one company man now.
Well, also here's the thing: you would have known had you been on Friday's show. So
yeah.
that's why you didn't find out. I didn't know. Until like obviously stuff like that, it's up in the air with spring and everything, so I didn't know for sure until Friday morning. So
are you going to be doing it like how, like for spring or for the regular, like how are you
I'm gonna
this?
I did yesterday, and I'm gonna do the next two Saturdays pre and post in spring, and like we'll see. I don't know if
no
that's a regular
off.
Season thing. I don't know if Raptors playoffs changes things and my usage is gonna change there. I don't really know.
You know, I really did think about this weekend where I went down to Real Sports on Friday to go watch the tournament with some friends, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching all the screens, and my friend, he has a buddy show up, and his friend shows up, and I don't know this guy, and we're kind of having a chat, and it's one of those when my friend goes to the bathroom, that's when we have the awkward chat, like this.
What do you do?
right. And The person asked me the question that a lot of people ask me, which is, how do you watch all the sports? And whenever someone asks me that, it actually does dawn on me how much content we take in and how many games and how many teams we track and how many leagues we follow and how – it's like the other day I didn't know that Kelly Yarncroc had been traded. One of the nights where I'm like trying to come together the show, I wake up in the morning, I didn't know that he had been moved, and Cuthbert tells me, I'm so mad at myself for not knowing that. It's like – yeah, you try to know every single thing about every single league. It's probably okay to miss one of the things, but either way, in our world, it can feel like when you're gone for a little while that that you've missed everything, you know, that I don't even know what I'm stepping into and where sports are at and what am I going to say, what am I going to do. But I'm happy that you're here on this day in particular, right? It's NHL trade deadline day, a Canadian staple. It's kind of changed over the years, right? It's not – now a lot of the work gets done beforehand, right? The Leafs have probably made their bigger move. I'm guessing they've made their biggest move of the deadline. We've seen the Atlantic Division load up. But, yeah, what do you guys just think of today in terms of whether Dubas – because we'll talk about how you guys like the Giordano trade in a second. But I kind of want to start with the feel of the day, which is, do you think Dubas has done enough? Where are you at philosophically in terms of – what the Toronto Maple Leafs should be trying to accomplish here heading into today. Ailish, I'll start with you.
Yeah, this weekend was really exciting. I like waiting for things to happen on Monday, but it was kind of a good treat that they got it out of the way early so we could talk about it. It was very nice of them. But I think the Leafs did a really good job. I feel like they addressed some of the bigger concerns we talked about for the last couple weeks. Obviously, the goaltending situation still needs a little bit of addressing. They picked up that the Finnish goalie, the Olympic gold medalist, but I don't know if he's, you know, the biggest fit for sure. Maybe he's a temporary
fix. Like he's pretty good to me.
Yeah. But is he good? You know, we'll have to see really. That one's kind of up in the air, which is an interesting one. I actually watched him at the World Championships. So I got to see him up close and playing.
Ooh.
And then obviously, yeah, he was really good. You know, he was one of the best, I think he was the best goaltender of the tournament, but yeah, I think that one is an interesting thing. If they can find a way to continue to upgrade goaltending, I think that would be the move, or someone a little bit of a lower roster player. But I can't anticipate something huge happening. But at the same time, I would be happily surprised if they could fit something in. But Leafs did a great job, obviously, with the big acquisition on the defense. I even really like Colin Blackwell. I think he's underrated. I've also watched him many times in my career. I think I was really happy to see Dubas get in on the action with the Atlantic, just obviously just having a killer weekend. It's a bit scary to be in this division. But all in all, I feel pretty good about what the Leafs have done so far. But I think today might be quiet.
So I do want to come back to a couple things that you said there, especially some of the scouting reports of the players. But, yeah, I don't know how to say the guy's name. Hari Sitari seems like.
Yeah, Hari Sitari.
Okay, because it's a hilarious
That's
name.
What I was like, calling it, him, at least, yeah, when I was there.
It sounds
to
like
his
something,
face, so I hope.
It sounds like something that the Beatles would write in a song. Like, they'd be, Hari Sitari. And, like, you know, it's nice. It's a very, very odd name. But yeah, when they signed him, I went, for this year? Like, you're coming on the team this year? But I wasn't exactly sure what the plan was. But yeah, okay, sure. You heard it from Ailish. Best goalie at the World Championships. The Leafs are getting that infused into this roster. That's massive.
Gold medalist, baby.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, Blake, in terms of just pressure today, do you think that there's a pressure on Kyle Dubas to do more? Or do you think that, yeah, last night, that sort of got it out of the way? That sort of appeases both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, I think that's a weight off as you negotiate, right? And in terms of leverage, as you're talking to other general managers, you can now approach these last 9 hours with the kind of certainty that you've made a move. You come into today and you haven't done anything, and your Atlantic Division rivals have loaded up. If you're another GM, you're probably sitting there and like, well, Kyle, you need this more than we do. So getting the Gio deal done, getting the Blackwell deal done, I think, you can kind of take a deep breath and now look at some of the smaller work that we were talking about, like additional goaltending depth or an extra fourth liner or whatever, if you think Blackwell has kind of upward mobility in the lineup. The other thing about today is Hockey Central trade deadline all day from 10 a.m. on Sportsnet. We've got Kevin Bieksa, Elliot Friedman, Justin Bourne, and Frank Saravelli on today. And then we roll right into all day NHL trade deadline coverage. So no pressure here. We've got the nice easy slot. We've got the, what happened on the weekend before everything hits chaos at 10 a.m. Awesome lineup today. But yeah, in terms of Dubas pressure, I think he can sit back and watch Hockey Central a little bit and answer calls, but not be scrambling.
So I'm still curious to see whether they try to grab another forward, like Ailish said. Is another forward is sort of the one thing that, if there is somebody, maybe now I'm doing the thing I would imagine most general managers hate. But hey, if there is a name that is out there that wasn't really out there, because there's nothing that's on the trade tracker lists or the trade list that's available to them that seems all that appealing, right? Even yesterday, there was just the weirdness of not knowing what the price was for Giordano for multiple hours. That part of this still has my like weird antennas up a little. Like, I can't wait to talk to Frank and to talk to Elliot about this and go, why didn't we know? Is it because that got leaked so early? Because Ryan Leslie had it, right, out of Calgary. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
Ryan,
pretty early.
Right, and listen, Ryan's a plugged in guy. He's got people in Calgary. He's, if you know media, he's, you know, Ryan's been around. But it wasn't a traditional news break. I wondered if maybe there was a little bit of sensitivity in the story that had happened, that it was like so early, or whether or not Toronto was trying to do something bigger or trying to think about something else, and they just couldn't put it together that day. And maybe it's being pushed into like this one. So my antennas are up a little on that one.
What I had read, and correct me if I'm wrong, because this is into the Blake atmosphere, is that they had to wait till 5 p.m. Because of the salary cap. So you can go over the salary cap from 5 o'clock onwards. And so they had to be able to push that little bit of a buffer to make it official. And then they had a little bit of extra room to play around, which is why it had to be announced past 5 p.m. to make sure everything happened. I see Blake kind of nodding, so maybe I'm on the right page there, but no. Had to do with the cap and the salary, I think, before they announced it, right?
Also had to line the Dermott thing up, right? Because they didn't have enough space without sending Dermott out. So you kind of have to do those things with sequence in mind. But yeah, there were some of that. I'm still a little surprised though, because like there's
nothing
against.
You didn't know what the things were though. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing against the names coming out. We know why it couldn't actually happen until 5 o'clock.
I see.
But yeah, how the names don't leak or the pick equity doesn't leak is a little surprising.
That was funny because, you know, I was with a couple friends yesterday afternoon as well, and they're just sitting there going, I just want to know what the price is. And basically it felt like, please don't be a first. Please don't be a first. Please don't be a first. So it's two seconds, right? And what is it? Two
and
seconds
a
and a third? Yeah. But the third ends up being kind of a wash because Dermott's gone and everyone knew that, hey, he didn't have a long-term future. And we can talk about Dermott if you guys have any thoughts. I don't have too many. I just kind of thought that the Dermott story had been written for a while now, which was, hey, this guy had a lot of upside here. He was someone that the fan base really believed in for a very long time. But for whatever reason, he could just never take the physical tools and turn them into something that was a top six defenseman in the NHL here. It seemed pretty clear like that he is an NHL caliber guy based on his tool set, but that I get the fit just here never worked. They tried moving him to his right side a little too late. His left side, his partners continued to kind of evolve and roll over. It felt like that he could just never get his feet underneath him because it was just, hey, one thing after the next in terms of what they wanted from Travis Dermott. And to be fair to the Maple Leafs, he was also given a lot of different – you could look at that through the lens of he was given a lot of different opportunities and none of them really he excelled at. And so I just think that every once in a while – it actually does become obvious that someone needs just a change of scenery. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for either organization. And I was actually surprised that the Leafs got a third for him. Like, I thought, hey, you know what? This is a fair trade. This is a good trade for both sides. And I don't think anyone holds any ill will towards Travis Dermott in this market anyways. And they all wish him the best of luck.
He's a defenseman who, if he's going to take the next step, probably needs to do that on a team that's not trying to compete for a cup. Because he has...
Yeah.
Had a very strong performance when he's in sheltered third pair minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you dive into the numbers, and when he's playing easier minutes, he's awesome. And that this is how you get into some of the debates with the analytic crew versus
whatever.
I know, little path now. The issue is that as the quality of competition increases or he moves up the pairing lineup, the performance hasn't been there. So you can't really take the risk of trying Dermott as a second pair guy in an environment like Toronto, where maybe you can in an environment like Vancouver.
I think that's a really good assessment. And yeah, so Dermott, he leaves, but everyone sort of expected it because he has a media availability where he basically says bye to the city, which was imagine he wasn't traded, how odd that would have been.
He's like, hey guys,
it was a dream to play here, and then he's on the roster. He's like, and it's still a dream to play here. That's what I always say.
He's in the press box. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. So he leaves, and it becomes a name that had been linked to Toronto for a while. Actually, Frank Saravelli coming on our show about a week and a half ago-ish, I want to guess, saying that, hey, Giordano really wants to be a Maple Leaf and that they're looking at him. So 2 seconds and a third. I will admit that I think these trade deadline prices are completely out of control. Like, the NHL trade deadline, there is this devaluation of picks that I don't understand, because I get that picks are not in hockey as valuable in some other leagues, right, where you just desperately need them because the players can come up right away and help you. Hockey, it's a little bit further down the line where prospects end up showing up. It's a bit more of a crapshoot than, say, the NBA, right, or the NHL. Or, I mean, sorry, the NFL. But man, oh man, some of those prices, you went and looked at them this year, and I thought Kyle Dubas just needs to stay out of this. Like, he needs to stand pat, not stand pat in the actual traditional term of, like, do actually nothing, but I just thought, hey, this guy really needs to avoid the big ticket items, the big ticket sale prices. And so Giordano kind of rides the line between both those things to me. My only issue is I really think Giordano wanted to come back to Toronto in the offseason, and I think he's going to be basically defenseman Spezza, where he takes a cheap contract in order to be a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs and live here and retire here. And so to acquire him for one extra cup run, right, one extra sprint to the finish, the price of 2 second-round picks and a third is pretty steep. However, that is counterbalanced in my heart by, you know what, he really is a fit here. And I know people are looking at his age and thinking, oh, well, can he move the same way? And is he the same guy? He's not the 2019 Norris Trophy winner. But the things that consistently come back with Mark Giordano and the things that define him is he's a play killer. He is a play killer. And if you watch this Maple Leafs blue line, what's the number one thing that you would say is the gripe with the blue line? Is that they don't have guys that are play killers. Mm-hmm. They don't have someone who just goes in the corner and kills a play. They don't have someone who kills a cycle. They don't have just that dude that was supposed to be Muzzin, and he had been really missing in that this season. And now we don't really know what he's going to be when he returns, the physicality, whatever. And so I just think that it's not the best fit, right? There's a scenario where they have, I think, they're five of their best six defensemen now are left shot D. That's kind of a possibility that could be a bit of a problem in terms of clearing pucks or the way that teams game plan for you. But in terms of a guy who wants to be here, kills plays, is going to bring some leadership, is going to bring some bite to this team, has an incredible history with TJ Brody. Like, Blake, I don't know if you have some of the analytics for it, but the analytics for Brody and Mark Giordano are like, hey, they're not sheltered.
He won the Norris. You don't need analytics beyond that.
But they were like an over 60% goals for percentage, those two guys on the ice together throughout their tenure. And in real minutes. In not like the Timothy Liljegren, Travis Dermott get a crazy ton of hype when they're on the ice train minutes. I think I like the fit more now, not dreaming about it. And I know maybe that sounds like a homer take because it's already happened, but I really do feel this way. When the trade actually happened and I started to look at what the blue line pairings could be going into the postseason, I looked at them and thought, you know what? This weird thing that I thought was going to be a bigger imbalance actually looks more like this blue line fits together in a way that it hadn't for a long time. I like the way the blue line shapes up.
Well, here's the thing. When you have multiple defensemen on the same side, right, is suddenly your third pair, by nature of you having so many guys, your third pair looks strong, right? Like Muzzin's suddenly a third pair guy, and if he's not all the way back or he's not healthy in time or whatever, Sandin's already shown you he can play third pair plus capably, right? And you know, you've got, in the best case scenario, you've got a Hall Sandin decision to make. But yeah, Giordano's a great fit, and he's not the offensive player that he was back in his Norris time, but most of his defensive metrics still hold up pretty well. We're talking about a 38-year-old guy who is still playing at the level of like a $6 million player. So even on just pure, hey, what does the money look like? Are you paying the right value for this guy? 2 seconds and then they retain 50% of the salary is a good piece of business. He fits cap-wise in a way that, you know, what did they do yesterday that you're uncomfortable with? Nothing. They lost Dermott, who we assumed was outbound. They waived Mrazek, which was always a possibility to clear a little space. And Clifford is meant for the taxi squad kind of up and down anyway. So I like the fit a lot. I think, like you said, JD, he adds a little bit of defensive punch. I think him and Brody together, as long as that clicks reasonably well.
That's your number one pair.
You're at least like in terms of the defensive minutes, and what that allows you to do is free Riley a little bit more for the offensive minutes. You can't really shelter a guy who plays as many minutes as Riley heavily, but it's another year where defensively, like, the performance isn't elite from Riley, to be kind. It's elite offensive performance from him. So I think it helps you maximize the Riley pairing and the Muzzin pairing by having this lockdown second pair that can kind of play a lot of different minutes.
Yeah, I think the on-ice fit, for sure, you guys outlined like why he's going to help boost this blue line. But in terms of what they got for him, I think that was the biggest conversation going into it, is like Kyle Dubas said, I don't want to give up a first. I don't want to give up a first. And I think the patience actually really paid off when you saw Florida massively overpaying for Ben Sherratt. I got a little bit anxious waiting for the details to come out yesterday, being like, please don't, you know, have a first. But they got Gio without getting rid of a first, without getting rid of Matthew Nyes, who's like their biggest prospect right now. And there's potential he even joins the NHL roster in the next couple weeks or heading down. They didn't get rid of the first rounder like they did for Nick Foligno last year, which obviously bit them. And people had that little bit of PTSD. But I think when you look at it, it's a pretty fair deal when you take the other ridiculous trades that were this weekend out of context. And I think that you kind of have to ignore the Ben Sherratt thing, and you have to see, hey, you know, the Leafs got away with a pretty good addition who they really needed, and somebody that wants to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, wants to win a Stanley Cup, brings all those like off-ice characteristics that I think are really important, like knowing what it's like to be in a dressing room, having a guy come in that can really add a lot off the ice is really important. So I was super happy to see it. I think that they did a good, you know, a good deal. And that's important because you don't want to be thinking down the line, oh, it was a lot. It was a lot. And you know, having that type of, wow, we don't have a first round pick now.
Yeah, this isn't a huge bite you trade.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the Kraken strategy yesterday, and I'm sure into today, it's clearly a volume of picks thing for them anyway. Mm-hmm.
In the next three drafts.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I'm with you, Ailish, because you look at it's a first and a fourth and a prospect for Ben Sherratt, or it's a first and 2 seconds and two players for Hampus Lindholm, and the right to immediately overpay Hampus Lindholm on an extension. It's two firsts and two players in a package for Hagel. Even just like a second is getting you a McBain or a Lozon type. Like, there, I don't know, the value on, and again, we can frame it as 2 seconds and Dermott for Giordano, really, from the Leaf side. That's had you told me a week or two ago that that's on the table and you can make it all work cap wise without, you know, exposing an important piece to waivers, I think we would have been all over that.
But I think, Ailish, you nailed it in terms of what the timing of this, that Dubas normally likes to do his business ahead of time. And he did, right? He made the Lyubushkin trade earlier, but I still don't view that as the same way. That was more of, hey, we need to make sure Richie's off the books. And not so much about getting Lyubushkin in here, right? I think that was a bonus part of it where they looked at it and said, hey, this is an added incentive to work with this team, is we can get this player. But ultimately, it was primarily about making sure Richie was off the team, right? I wonder even if it would have come to a point where they would have just done the trade without bringing in Lyubushkin. This was different. This was waiting out the market and saying, we're not paying the first. We're not paying the first. We're not getting crazy. We're not just moving top-end prospects for a playoff push this year. Because this is my biggest thing, is like, I didn't want the Leafs to go all in this time around. Because one, you don't know what you have in net. And so that's such a wild card heading into the postseason that I don't know how you can invest properly in a team. And if there had been a goaltender that I really believe that the Maple Leafs should go out and get, I would have named that goalie. But Blake, we've been talking about this for weeks now. Marc-Andre Fleury's numbers in Chicago aren't exactly inspiring of a guy that's going to step in here and just dominate right away, right? Anton Forsberg, we're talking about from the Ottawa Senators, playing low leverage, low import, completely buried in terms of no one talking about you, no one looking at you. someone who had been waived multiple times a year ago. He was being viewed as a savior type of prospect. And I go, do you understand the different – this is like – What is it when scuba diving where they go, oh, my God, you can't take the pressure impact of just going down too fast? The pressure difference, he would have got the bends. The pressure difference from going from Ottawa to Toronto before a playoff runs, that is the bends. There was no goaltender on the market that I looked at and said, this guy is going to change the ceiling of this team this year, right? It was, you'd like to have that guy in here. At the price of moving off the Mrazek contract right now and taking on a big contract and having to dump, a top-tier name that you have in your farm system or a top-end prospect that you have, those are the types of deals you make when you feel like you have a really great chance to make a run. And I'm not saying that the Leafs don't have a great chance to make a run because they're a very good team. We've seen them play up to their competition multiple times this year. But they need to be able to get some saves, and ultimately they won't be able to answer that question until they're in the postseason. So the idea of giving up huge stuff was too risky for me, especially considering you have to get past the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Florida Panthers, and potentially the Boston Bruins, who are all loading up themselves. Like Florida, I didn't mind their overpay, Eilish. It's still ugly, and it made the rest of the deadline all screwy.
But the Claude Giroux kind of like tapers it out.
But not only that, they hadn't gone into the cupboards and done a move like this. This is their first time going into the asset pile and saying, hey, we're going to push for this. We're really going to try and do something here. Tampa Bay, whenever anyone looks at what Tampa Bay gives up for stuff, don't. You can't compare it to yourself. They're going for a third straight Stanley Cup. A third in a row. So their first-round picks are worthless to them. Who cares about that? They're trying to maximize this playoff window that they have as a group. Their first-round picks aren't worth the same. And with Boston, they may have overpaid Lindholm, but they still acquire him and re-sign him, and they viewed him as a long-term piece. So I just didn't think Toronto was in the same spot as any of those groups. And so to find a way where they brought in a piece that does help them, a piece that has a lot of ways good fits, and they didn't give up a first-round pick or a stupid high-end prospect for a rental when you probably know that Giordano is going to re-sign on the cheap next year. It was a really nice piece of business by Dubas waiting. He deserves a lot of credit for this move, even if it doesn't work out. Like, he did not get crazy. I think he properly evaluated the market, the need, the fits, all that stuff, and he gets an A for this move.
So you mentioned Florida, and I think I'm completely in agreement with the excitement of seeing them finally, you know, okay, let's get rid of these picks. Let's go all in. And I think that's what I want at the trade deadline is if you know, they're going to be probably the East favorite now. If you're at that point where it's a win now, get rid of your futures, your first rounders. I don't care. Like I obviously think it's way more fun to see them go all in. And you talk about kind of like the tier system. I didn't think the Leafs were in a Florida Tampa tier right now. So seeing Florida and Tampa kind of give that extra push makes sense to me. I was a little surprised to see Boston kind of go all in. I wouldn't have expected them to be at that same level, but for them to go in on Lindholm and kind of pay that big price obviously puts them a little bit higher up in the rankings. But yeah, I don't think Toronto was in that discussion. And I think we would have been very surprised to see them spend what a Florida and a Tampa did, because I don't think that they're right there. And I know that might be hard to hear. We're in the Toronto market, but I just think that like they're going to have a really tough go here. And are they the favorites over Florida? I don't know yet, but it was great to see Florida do that.
I don't know if they're favorites over Florida or Tampa or, you know, even Boston.
Now Boston.
But the thing is I could actually see Toronto beating all those teams. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Without having to pay that price.
But it just comes down to whether or not Jack Campbell can get right. Honest to God, 100%. So much of this is just can Jack Campbell get right? We've seen how many times we have to watch playoff hockey to remember that it's just so much of it is, does your goalie get hot at the right time? Does your goaltender come up with big performances? We all know that if the Leafs are getting that, are the Leafs going to let in 4 goals or 5 goals night performance from their goaltenders, then they're screwed. They're not going to be able to do it. They won't be able to consistently win these games. But to me, you're trying to find out a couple things now with this playoff run. You're trying to find out whether or not Jack Campbell can be a guy for you, right? Or do you need to just reset in net going into this offseason entirely? Is this offseason a reset in net because you're not bringing back Mrazek? That's done. You already just have to figure out how you're moving off of that. But is Jack Campbell a guy? And number two is, did you get the killer instinct? That's what this was all about coming into the season. Mm-hmm. And I know it's, what do you call it? It's not a platitude, but it's, I don't know, media speak. They always find out these ways of branding a season, right? What's the way that, what's the messaging for the media that we're all going to say? And so Killer Instinct is something that's vague, and we debate as media members, and they go, that's cute. You go do your thing. But we all understand what Killer Instinct means to the Leafs is the Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner that you're seeing in the regular season right now. Mm-hmm. Are you going to see that in the playoffs? Is there something about those two guys where there is an inherent flaw or something that just does not translate the same way to the postseason? Because if you have the best line in hockey and it's the best line in hockey in the postseason, you got a chance to beat anybody. And so that's what we're going to try to find out here. Are those guys it come playoff time? Mm-hmm. Can Tavares and Nylander elevate their style of play come playoff time? Or are they going to remain a little bit closer to what we've seen in the regular season? These are the questions that we need answered right now, right? And I don't think that they get answered by Toronto going and saying, we're going to toss around more picks to try to get mm-hmm. Nick Paul from the Ottawa Senators. Or we're going to get into a crazy asset discussion for Brandon Hagel. Like, that's not what this year was about for this Leafs team. That's why, okay, so I looked at that. There was the proposal, right? And I want to ask you guys about mm-hmm. that too. But the Chicago one where it was Hagel and Fleury for, I think it was a first-round pick, Nyes, and getting off the Mrazek deal. Mm-hmm. And I went, see, that's the type of move I'm not making right now because that
it even
fundamentally
said first-round picks, plural.
Yeah, maybe it was more than one. Yeah, you're right. That's why I thought it was even cheap. That's the type of trade where I go, do you really think that Hagel and Fleury coming onto no. this Leafs team are changing them from a place that is, they are a team that could win mm-hmm. to a team that will win? This is still hockey. It's a game of bounces. It's a game of hot goaltending. It's a game of randomness. There are just so many things about this team that need answering before you can do that stuff. I liked the Foligno trade last year, even though it didn't work out, because the Leafs had a clear path. They were facing Montreal and potentially Winnipeg to get to a conference finals. That's when you do that move. Trade first-round picks. Do that kind of stuff. This was not the year for them to do it. And so I guess where I'm getting at with all this is I hope that the major lifting is done. I really hope that the Leafs don't end up moving off of something. And I know that people can get clutchy with prospects, but I don't want to see them move Nyes. Nyes is just the type of player that every time I see a Nyes highlight, it's he's hitting somebody and they're staying down for a second.
He was a second round pick that plays like a first rounder, and you can't be giving that up for someone who's potentially a third line player and a 39-year-old goalie, as Blake put in the chat. 0.895 save percentage over the last 2 months. You don't need to pay that for Marc-Andre Fleury. I know he's a great person. I know he's got an established career, but that's not an upgrade right now for the type of price that was potentially floating around out there. I was really, really happy that the Leafs did not go on that.
I don't know how you could be really upset with the way the Leafs have done business right now. And again, people can get too clutchy with prospects, and right now that's going to be a huge raging debate, Blake, over the next, I would say, month with the Blue Jays and the Jose Ramirez stuff, and then going into the season too. But we also spend a lot of time about, hey, there are certain prospects that mean more to you mm-hmm. based on what they're going to represent and bring you. And like, I really do think Nyes, as a big power forward who actually loves to hit and can finish and can skate, Toronto hasn't had that in a while, and seeing what that looks like within their top six could be very interesting. And moving off of stuff like that, it's like, that's where this sport is so different from others, right? Like, you just don't see that in other sports where your top tier prospect would get traded for somebody that plays with you for 2 months. Like, that's such a hockey only thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's I'm nice with to you. Develop. Oh, go ahead, Blake.
I was just going to say, I'm with you guys on Nyes. I think, you know, the interesting thing about him is he's novel when you look at what's in the Leaf system, right? And there aren't other guys like Matthew Nyes. There are other small forwards coming up. There's my guy, Joey Duzak, JD, who's now a defenseman again. Who knows? But Nyes is, I mean, not only is he potentially closer than you might think for a 19-year-old, because physically he's so far advanced and you know, is coming off of a really strong college year that's just about wrapped. The Hagel thing is, you know, the extra 2 years at $1.5 million when he's only 23, like that's probably how, if you're Tampa Bay, you sell yourself on it. But let's look at what the Leafs' issues are longer term, right? And you look at their eighth in points percentage right now, and of the top 12 teams, they have the worst goals against average and the worst save percentage. If you're going to use those assets and you're going to trade a top prospect in multiple firsts, it should probably address your biggest weakness and not yes. just be a trade where I feel like if the Leafs make the Hagel trade, it's a trade to make a trade, kind of, because they feel the pressure to do something. So that's where I'm at on that one. You would have sold yourself on it because of the term and he's a good player, but I'm much more comfortable with this and still having that first and Nyes in the pipeline.
Same. I really, really don't want them to trade Nyes. I just want to see what he looks like. And I feel like when we said the good thing about the Giordano trade is it's not going to come back and bite you. It would have been awful to watch Nyes basically get called up to Chicago immediately exactly. and have highlights of him next week as Marc-Andre Fleury's letting goals in here in Toronto because the pressure is so high. Before we take the break and do the return of the A-list, the proper A-list, not the one where we...
I know, you guys tried, eh?
We did Oof. Try.
It's
did.
Tough. It's harder than it seems, eh? To have some good uplifting stories every morning.
I thought that we did pretty great, I will say. Minus Cuthbert had one story about chicken fingers I didn't really understand, I got to admit. But other than that one time, that I thought it was pretty good. Do you think Harri Sitari is enough, or do you want to see one more goalie?
I don't know, how much stock do we put into KHL and international stats? Because that guy has the most impressive elite mm-hmm. prospects page I've ever seen for a guy I had not been super familiar with before. Wasn't very
I
good
want
last
Sitar
time he was
to play
here.
When I hear his name.
Yeah. I would think that they'd like something else, but to me, mm-hmm. that's their Riddick move, is instead of giving up a third mm-hmm. for a guy like that, you go out and sign a guy like that who... Yeah. you know, is having a really or a couple very strong years at the international level. And you, I mean, ideally he doesn't get tested in the NHL anyway, but who was it? One of their, I think Joe Wall got hurt on the weekend as well. So right. the Marlies depth took a hit too.
They
in
need,
terms
they
of
need
like,
a little bit more back there. They're clearly running low on goaltenders. So
yeah,
adding
at least
for
good
a
ones
contract. It's worth a try, honestly. Like if he's put up this numbers over the last couple, it's been a while since he played in the NHL, obviously, but he's been playing well in other leagues. I think it's worth adding for the cost, but I don't see him being, you know, the savior. You never know,
but this is what it is though, and we mm-hmm. we talked about it depth. The entire week leading up. You needed to add a little depth at the position, mm-hmm. and I actually like the idea of signing someone to just months like straight cash, homie, over mm-hmm. giving up a second round pick to go out and get a guy that's essentially the same lottery ticket. Like, okay, I know it's the KHL, and I know this Olympic run wasn't the exact same way, but at the Olympics through five games, he had a 962 save, and this year in the KHL, he was a 926 save. Mm-hmm. I don't know how those translate to the NHL, but he's a 32-year-old goalie, right? He's not some kid who's coming in here going, oh my God, the lights are so bright. Playing the Olympics for Finland has probably mattered a lot more to him mm-hmm. than playing for the Leafs in a playoff run if he has to step in the net, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. maybe he's thinking about it more as the potential to get a big money contract or get some type of money in the NHL and break through to a dream if it works out here. But
that's good incentive. Like, you're gonna give it your all, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying that mm-hmm. My big concern with bringing in goaltenders was the pressure of the market bearing down on a goaltender who has to show up here and all of a sudden gets thrown into the net and they say, hey, we're trying to win a Stanley Cup here. Jobs are on the line. You need to step up and make some big saves. I really do believe that a guy coming from a completely different country who's probably not paid attention at all to the media in Toronto this year, right? This guy's not plugged in the way that other players would have been. You know, obviously, other NHLers know what's going on with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know what Harri Sitari knows about the Leafs. I don't know what he knows about this market. I don't know what he knows about the pressure of the goaltending position here. If he can step in, I sort of think that there's a benefit of not knowing, you know, and being just an older guy, getting your feet settled, working it out. I don't know. Maybe this ends up working out. Like I said, Ailish said, best goalie at the World Championships that she saw. No big deal. So the best. Who is there for Team Canada?
Don't worry about it.
No, come on. You got no. I was like, because the Team Canada goalies right now are crushed.
Connor Brown and
wasn't Darcy Kemper Brown there?
Yep, Darcy Kemper. Oh, you're talking about goaltenders.
Yeah, because I'm saying who was there, because who are you evaluating higher than, or like who's below him now? Darcy Kemper is, you know, guy that's on a cup contender right now.
NHLer.
Kind of a bum compared to Harry Sitari. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back and let's do the A-list. It's the Fan Morning Show, The Return of Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks, Vic, for the custom welcome back song. It's been a while. The A-list. Long live the A-list. You guys did your best. I appreciate the effort, but I'll take the reins back.
A lot of people said better.
I'm
just saying.
I don't know. I got some messages saying the opposite. But it's glad to be
Blake,
back. Doing what I do best.
Mostly better messages from you, yeah.
No. He says no. Okay. Well, I had 3 weeks to think of A-list stories, but I'll keep them relevant to the last weekend, and let's do it. I missed the jingle. Give it to me, Vic.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong,
bing bong,
bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Probably a low amount of bing bongs over the last couple weeks, eh?
Have you seen the Knicks? There's no bing bong.
I think bing bong's dying out. I'll be the one to say, but I think we're tapering off the bing bong.
When you lock in your under on your win total over under with 10 or 12 games
that's
to play,
tough.
Hard to have a gimmick live.
Okay, so let's get right into the first one. I sent Vic a clip of a person on the show, The Masked Singer. I don't know if you know about it, but they come on, nobody knows who it is singing, and anyway.
So that was the worst sell of The Masked Singer ever. You're like, here's how it is. They come on, nobody knows who it is, and then you just froze and went, you get the idea. Like, yeah, of course
so
we all know The Masked Singer.
There's the
ads
Singer,
for it every sporting
event ever. It's
actually
really fun, okay? It's very fun.
Oh, my God. You watch it in real life? Like,
no,
actually...
I've never watched it. That's why I can't sell it that well. But this person is very relevant to sports. We're going to play the clip, and I'm going to see if you guys can guess who it is. You've heard this person's voice many, many, many times if you're a sports fan.
Oh, we're playing The Masked Singer right now is what you're saying to
go
us.
Go for
okay,
it,
let's
Vic.
Do it.
Put on a brand new shirt. Get all but if you were. If you say that you love me. Didn't I see you crying?
Yeah!
Oh, didn't I see you crying? Feel it all alone when I feel
all right, Vic. So that individual, you've heard his voice many, many, many times. He lasted two episodes before he was, I don't know, discovered or unmasked. Mm. Any guesses?
Well, I'll be honest. I'm having trouble because I just assumed it was Gronk because this seems like such a Gronk thing to do that it's like,
is
it
Gronk? He's
probably
done it before, actually.
Okay, no, it's not him.
Gronk.
Okay, so it's not Gronk. The voice actually to me sounded like it was a bit of Ben Stiller. There was a little bit of Ben Stiller in there, but obviously that's not Ben Stiller. This is an athlete that we're talking about here.
No, not an athlete. That's a hint. You've heard his voice many times, but he's not an athlete.
Oh. Okay, Blake, do you have a guess for this?
I saw it already,
he probably
so I didn't
knows.
Want to
oh, you
guess.
Know, oh, yeah, he knows who it is. I have
Blake
no idea.
Blake always knows.
I have no idea.
JD, you get one guess.
On, I'm going to say it's Elliot Friedman.
No? Imagine. Oh my God, that's amazing. It's Joe Buck.
Oh, that's pretty good, Joe Buck. Yeah. You know, I got to admit.
Pretty
it's
good.
Like Joe. I'm actually kind of disappointed in myself now that I didn't know it was Joe Buck. Considering
yeah, you
that
know that voice.
My whole life has been Joe Buck. Like, I don't know how many hours of Joe Buck I've heard, but more than probably most bands I listen to.
Only the 8-time Emmy Award winner. His story behind it was that he had a paralyzed vocal cord 11 years ago. So it was kind of a personal fulfillment for him to be on the show.
Because he got plugs and that's the craziest story ever. Do you know that story, Ailish?
I actually don't.
He got a hair transplant that almost killed him. And they were like, we got to end this. Oh. He's like, no, I'd rather die than have no hair. That's crazy. Like he's
serious?
Yeah. No, Joe Buck has lived quite a life.
I did not know the story behind that.
So one of the things I would say that Joe Buck, out of anyone in my life, has had as, and I'm not saying the most, but one of the biggest turnarounds in terms of the public all kind of consensus hating Joe Buck to everyone that I know going, no, I respect Joe Buck. No, Joe Buck is the man. I like Joe Buck. Oh, yeah. No, it's for real. Blake, do you feel me on that one? Like, younger Blake Murphy and his friends are watching Joe Buck going, I hate Joe Buck. And now you're with your friends going, wow, this guy's a legend. He's an icon.
There was also, like, the talk of, like, oh, he doesn't actually like sports that much. It's just a job to him. Yeah. And that kind of rubs people wrong. But, yeah, I mean, especially once you're in the industry a little while and realize what the degree of difficulty on being Joe Buck is.
Yeah.
Where it's just, it's insane to be that good across that many different sports and partners and things like that. Like, you have no choice but to gain a respect for him.
Well,
once you know what it actually takes.
Do you think he and Troy fix Monday Night Football?
I'm not a big Aikman guy, so.
Aikman got better, though. Salty Aikman, I wonder if he leans into that ever. Like, I feel like Salty Aikman got him paid. The guy who went, I should have the number one game. Now that he has it, I kind of like this idea of Diva Aikman being carried into the booth with Joe Buck. Anyway,
I don't trust Aikman to be able to, like, play the character and lean into it, though. Like,
okay, we'll see. Yeah, we will. But it is very dependent on how heelish he goes with the role. But either way, Joe Buck is, it's going to bring a big game feel back to Monday night. So I think it's going to work to a certain extent. All right, Ailish, what else?
Maybe he'll sing. Maybe he'll sing.
Maybe he will.
Okay, so MLB was obviously super exciting over the last couple of weeks with trades and information being surfaced.
Oh,
did you guys see the Twitter account at MLB Drops?
No.
Okay, so MLB Drops was breaking some news over the last couple of weeks, even getting credited by major players like Ken Rosenthal. So much so that it started to be a little bit confusing who this person behind at MLB Drops was. They were breaking a lot of Rangers deals, not anything super significant, but still getting the stories first. Mm-hmm. How did this unknown account grab everybody's attention? Well, turns out the account was being run by the Rangers hitting coach's son. And he was getting all the inside scoop first and tweeting it out. And he got caught, obviously now. And so how he got caught was he has his own Twitter account, Joseph Hires. And in his own Twitter account, he put half of at MLB Drops and didn't realize that everyone could just find his account.
Tough one,
anyway,
Joe.
He got caught. He now has deleted the account, but a very uncomfortable situation to have because that guy could have lost his job. He could have been like, why are you telling your son these things? But anyway, he got caught doing it. He could have cost his dad the job, but a very awkward conversation to have if you're the father and working for the Rangers.
I just took offense to this because as the show that is only here for Carlos Baerga being the disruptor in the MLB trade rumor game. I'm just glad that this kid is canceled and that his account is gone because this is a Baerga show. So for you, when you were like, have you guys heard of MLB Drops? I was like, I would never, okay? Unless there is an elaborate Photoshop that goes up on Instagram and then an Instagram live where I get percentages in which the Blue Jays will be getting major names, I don't have time for it. So I'm glad MLB Drops is gone and I'm glad that this kid is erased from the internet.
Yeah, listen here, Tim Hires, fail son. Like, let's get the Slipknot fire graphics and the Yule log fire crackling sound effects. Then you could be a player in this game.
Yeah. You know what this makes me think of though is it's surprising it doesn't happen more often. Like it's one of those things where every once in a while, you end up seeing someone break a huge story that is a very non-conventional player, right? And you go, wow, okay, this is this person's completely out of left field. We've seen it with the Blue Jays before, too, right? Like, there have been a couple people who have broken Blue Jays news that are, like, not Ken Rosenthal, Shai Davidi, you know, Ben Nicholson-Smith. It's like a Twitter account with 1,000 or 2 followers. Mm. Why do you think this doesn't happen more often? Like, where a family member gets something and it's posted?
People have morals.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely not the answer. So what do you think it is, Blake? Well, wrong. That's the only wrong answer on this, Ailish.
No, it's because the more obvious the connection to the source, the easier it is to burn that person, right? Like, you don't – like, in this case, as soon as you see the last name on that kid, you know who it is and where he's getting the information. It'd be the same as if Carlos Baerga's last name – was Palacios, right? Like, and you look at a
interesting
connection
there. Interesting choice.
Well, he's the Puerto Rican player on the team, and I didn't want to throw Charlie under the bus.
Yeah.
Ailish, I think you have one more, right?
Yeah, you got one more.
I got one more little one here.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so everyone's getting into the cannabis game. As we know, you can't walk down Queen Street in Toronto without seeing one every 20 feet. But if you're looking for a special version of your cannabis fix, Mike Tyson is now selling Mike Bites, which are cannabis-infused gummies in the shape of ears.
I want one.
Okay. So maybe they'll send them over. So Mike Bites you can buy in over 100 locations in California, and they're vouched as the ears that actually taste good.
Yeah. I would say, Blake, Ailish, I don't think you were probably old enough to really remember it, because I believe the Tyson bite happened when I was in grade 9, maybe grade. Mm. It was the first thing actually I ever bet on with a friend. Yeah, where I took I remember just being like, I'm going to bet this with you. And
yes, I was 3 years old. I just looked it up.
Yeah, I think I was even younger than grade 9.
It was 97.
Yeah, so yeah, I would have even been younger. But I remember that was the first fight that I was like aware of, where it was like boxing was in my life. And I remember thinking, I can't believe a human being would do that. It's one of the most disgusting acts ever. And that it's turned into – actually, this kind of pairs well with Joe Buck, because Joe Buck being so offended by Randy Moss and going like, wow, this guy's the biggest dork ever, to this. But yeah, I was genuinely disgusted by it. And I remember my like family being angry about it, and just like every person like having a, can you believe Mike Tyson bit another human being? And now it's just kind of like, haha, and now he sells ears and you'll buy one for whatever he's maimed. He tried to maim a
human
being.
Found a way to make money off of it.
Yeah, it's like, that's just so us. It's like, we're so outraged in the moment by things, and then time goes by and we go, wasn't it funny when we were outraged by a thing? And you were like, ha-ha-ha-ha. So weird. So weird. Anyways, I want one. I think I will try. How many milligrams? I'm guessing they all change. They've got all kinds of different ones.
I didn't see, sorry.
But I'm afraid of dying because Ailish bought me this bath bomb that has THC in it. But it's 100 milligrams, which if you have ever eaten edibles before, is like if you eat 100 milligrams, you're going to go to the moon. Like,
well, don't eat the bath bomb.
But how does it translate?
Like, I need Christmas to know. Gift to you.
I know, but I need to know what the translation is, right? Where it's okay. Obviously, it's not quite like eating it. But do you remember when you were kids and there was the rumor of if you pour a little, like a couple shots into a hot tub and sit in the hot tub, you'll get so drunk. Yeah. And it was like, I wonder if it's like that with THC. I don't know. Where's the scientist that's supposed to tell me? You know, where's the weed connoisseur?
You know what the answer is?
I'm sure somebody
is
will text
though, JD,
him.
It's almost certainly on the packaging. Like, you have
no,
the
I
answer.
Looked. No, I looked. I swear I looked.
You.
I looked, Blake. You don't believe me? Wow.
I 1,000% think you're the type of person to come on here, complain about not knowing something that is written right on the box.
No, how dare you? How dare you accuse me in this way? I read it. I looked at it. Somebody tell me.
He was
what
worried.
Is it
he texted me, like, if I don't wake up, the zero.
Yeah, so I just need to know. All right. Because, listen, I love an edible. Who doesn't? But there's nothing worse than when you eat too much. When you eat too much, it's just a complete day ruiner, as my friends can attest to in my first day in Seattle last year when I was walking around like, we can't stop or I'll die. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep walking. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk to Frank Cervelli. Let's get back into the rumors. It's NHL trade deadline day. The watch continues.